I can't think of anybody better to hear from on Easter Sunday than Beth Munty, so let's give her a welcome.
Well, aren't you beautiful? So wonderful to look at so many people that I just love. Thank you. So we're going to take a moment to pray together and become comfortable in your places, please. And let's envision together that there is one power and one presence called by many names, and the names don't really matter. And this power and presence is all love, all healing, all peace and wisdom, all forgiveness. And its center is everywhere. So the center of this divine beingness is within each of us. And it's always before us and behind us, to our right and left, above us and below us, filling all places and all spaces, everywhere present. For its center is everywhere, and its circumference is nowhere. And so we allow ourselves to feel that divine energy within each cell and each space of these earth suits of ours, and imagine it in our homes, filling all space, in our cars, in this building, in our community, in all communities, in all spaces, everywhere. And so we turn to you, Divine Oneness, remembering that we can only be separated from you in our thinking, in the illusion of thought. And so tonight, again, we would willingly release all concepts of separation from your wisdom, your love, your healing power, your direction. We would intentionally and gladly release all the pain of the past, all ideas of separation, of injury, of rudeness, and experience this now as the only now there is. Filled with a powerful and overwhelming sense of well-being, of love and trust. today we would happily begin again, begin anew in every way that comes to our mind, filled with an assurance of your light and love, and filled with a sense that we are truly with the ministers of God, that we are joined together to be the conduits for love and peace and renewal. May the fellowship be a blessing in every way to everyone we touch, a blessing of love, of reassurance, of forgiveness, and of peace. This is our prayer. And so it is. One of the things that just came to mind as I was thinking those thoughts and that prayer, because sometimes we can see how we could possibly take that step out of our angst or out of our judgment or out of our fear, and we can say it, but we realize that we can't always do it just like that. And it reminds me of, in reading Emily Cady's wisdom through her books, that she reminds us that there is no one who has achieved true spiritual depth and understanding that hasn't sat through a night holding to truth. In other words, we see that that's possible, but doing it is the challenge. And it doesn't always come like that, usually doesn't come like that. And so know that when you are in the midst of that, and remind yourself that you can let go of the past and that the presence of love and healing is with you. That often takes a steadiness and an intention that's willing to sit through that storm of ego or fear or patterning that we all have to come out on the other side. And I think it's important that we remember that from time to time. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, you know, we live and move and have our being. But the doing it, the actual experience of it is a work that it's good for us to be prepared to do and to know that we're in good company in doing it. I feel I'm in wonderful company when I look at this congregation, a congregation of affirmation and understanding. So I was thrilled to be asked to speak on Easter, because any time I'm asked to speak, as a lot of you that speak before groups know, you start living with that assignment, right? And so the idea of the Easter assignment has been fascinating, and it's brought me to think a lot about Jesus and about the history that I've experienced through my life and what I've observed with friends and with people in churches, and what the deal was, you know, with Jesus, and who was that guy, and how are we supposed to relate to him, and what did he really say or give us that we can apply? So I'll just tell you that I was that little kid in Sunday school that thought people had it all wrong. I mean, you know, I just knew that it couldn't be true. It couldn't be true that God, who I already believed before I reached the Presbyterians, God was love, and he has his only son killed on a cross to save the rest of us. I mean, it just made no sense to me at all. I just couldn't figure out who was buying that, who thought it up, and what, you know, what that was supposed to mean. So I was a question asker and a person that really very early in life just figured that they didn't have it right. It couldn't be like that. I'm sure a number of you, I had that too, and I was logical enough not to just believe what people told me if there wasn't a one-on-one or two there. So fortunately, my formative years in my Presbyterian church, under the direction of our Scottish minister, who spoke with a brogue and was delightful, he never taught us the mean stuff about the Bible. He always just taught us good things, good stories, lessons. So I didn't really have to confront the harsh Jesus stuff that I know some people did. But as I left churches and then later became involved with Unity and started reading the works of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and Emily Cady, I heard things about Jesus that made more sense to me. And basically, what I heard was that Jesus was a God-realized person, a being that was a spiritual teacher, that was teaching on spiritual levels. And that there was a way of looking at him and his life which could be understood as there was Jesus, this guy, Mary and Joseph's son, and there was also Jesus, the God-realized spiritual teacher, and that at times he spoke as the guy, but more often, the words in the Bible were coming from this universal teaching of spiritual understanding. That made a lot of sense to me. And so I started working on what was he teaching. And one of the things that I concluded very early, and I know a lot of you did, is Jesus did not ever suggest that he should be worshipped. His suggestion was, do these things. Live like this. In other words, he didn't say, worship me. He said, follow me. That, and he said to us very clearly, the greater things than I do, you can do. So he was probably the most affirming spiritual teacher without saying, everybody bow down in front of me because I'm the deal, and you're not. He said, you're the deal too. But in order for you to come to that deal level, you're going to have to learn some things. And that's where the following me became so significant. So I work with principles of Jesus, and I'm taught by them consistently, and I right now I would say that I work with the beginning of the Lord's Prayer particularly. We have a belief, at least biblically, that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. And even though there are different interpretations of the Lord's Prayer or different translations, I personally like the basic King James Version. It makes sense to me. And what I'm really feeling and interested in and practicing right now, particularly, is Jesus' teaching or words when he says, Our Father. Okay, Our Father. Now, those two words are a huge teaching to me. First of all, it's not my Father, and it's not some of your Father. Our is completely inclusive of all of us. And then the idea of Father really intrigues me that he says there, this divine oneness that he's saying is our Father. Because I think he's saying our source, our what we've come from, our provider. Because I believe when he was talking traditionally to the people of the era that he was talking to, Father was the big deal. I mean, who your Father was and your relationship to that Father was it. So our Father, and when I pray that, or it's more like a meditation on that concept, I turn to the source of my being, the source of my everything. And then he says, which are in heaven. In other words, this Father that we've come from is in the world of perfection. We've come from, we are manifest from the perfect. And that's how, it only makes sense, the greater things than I've done, you can do. That we're all manifest from that perfection. And for me, when just those words, just because it's not those words, it's the movement that you take in consciousness when you feel the understanding of those words that moves us from the aspect of our world that is disjointed, that is involves pain, that involves the past, that involves the things that hurt. Our Father, who art in heaven. My affirmation there, that I am made from that, and that is my source, and that's who I am turning to, because that is where my being is. And then he goes on in that prayer and says, Thy kingdom come, perfection come. Thy will be done, perfection through me, on this earth as it is in the divine realm. Well, there's our assignment. Jesus gave us our assignment. Does God realize, healer, that people 2,000 years later are talking about, gave us very succinctly the assignment, the bringing the perfection of our beingness into our experience. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I should look at what I intend to say today. I hope it's on here. One of the things that Jesus has said that also underlines this teaching is that he said clearly, remember, it's not me, it's the Father within that does the work. Jesus said that. It's not me. So he was saying for all of us, find that source, turn to that source, allow yourself to express that source, and that's what you're to be doing. Not us, not these cute little ego personalities that we've all developed, right? And unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, because of course it's our role to undo it, but, you know, we've spent a lot of time on these ego personalities of ours. And yet, it's not me, but the Father within that does the work. So forget that part and only move forward with the love part. Only move forward with the light. That seems like a pretty good deal. And he also said, and I looked this up today, but I didn't write down where it was, but remember he said clearly, speaking to a group near the end of his life, count no one as your father save the Father in heaven. He clearly said, stop this association, this egoness, this, and said, you don't even count that. That's your only father. He said, also, because remember he said it's not me, the Father within that does the work. He also said, I am with you always. Like, oh, so we've got this teacher who's not really, we aren't to identify with his ego personality, that Jesus guy, but with the spiritually God-realized person, and he says, I'm with you always. That is always available to us. Well, that's a good deal, isn't it? I mean, that this amazing teacher isn't going to be separated from us. Another example of this came to me from, and it brought Leon up, our dear Leon, who always taught us good, Joel Goldsmith. And I was reading Joel Goldsmith one time. And Joel was teaching, and he was saying to his class, stop asking God to be your errand boy. Stop asking God, oh, help me do this. Help me find my new car. Help me solve my relationship problem. Help me. Because he said, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Your work is to say, what can I do for you? That's your work. Nah. Take care of this, do this, solve that. But our prayer is, how do I express you? Show me that. Let me do that. And other things, of course, take care of themselves. So all of us that have been sort of, you know, we're sort of schooled, okay, ask God to solve it. stop it. Instead say, how do I become your conduit in this situation? How can I do that? So we'll flip from God to help me live this human life to how can I allow the kingdom to come through me and be expressed in all my doing, all my relationships, but mainly in how I think. So it's Easter, and what an interesting time, because we have a lot of people that have followed more traditional Christianity, which became very politicized immediately, and then there were all these rules that came in there and, you know, got sort of crazy, who are reliving the death of Jesus and the need to worship that. And I really think we got that wrong. And I think we intuitively know that this transcendent teacher, leader, example, inspiration was teaching us and showing us a very specific lesson. And through that lesson, we find the peace, because if we're being the light of God in the world, we're easily forgiving, or at least we're sitting through the night with that forgiveness challenge and making it work. We're being led in what we do, and we're being the light. When I was a little girl, the first song my dad taught me that I remember is, "I'll be a sunbeam for Jesus." And I think, well, that was probably a pretty good song to put in a little kid's brain. And then one that I put out on Facebook, because it came to me yesterday, and a couple of you responded to me, and that was another song that I learned in Sunday school, was a song that said, "He lives, he lives, Lord Jesus lives today." And it goes on and the last sentence in it, and a lot of us sang that. Do you remember that, Phyllis? Yeah, I guess I know Barb remembers it. A lot of us remember that. Was, "You ask me how I know he lives," and it was, "He lives within my heart." So it was a simple little Sunday school song with a profound message that wasn't about the worship as much as it was the following and the allowing. So happy Easter, everyone. You know, we're in the euphoria days of our climate, aren't we? You know, I lived in California for 5 years, and I used to try to explain to those Californians what it was like to have spring come, you know? And they were clueless. They had no idea, because it was always the same there, and pretty much. And personally, I found it a little boring, especially because to explain the euphoria when we have the days like we've tasted this week, and everyone steps into the light, literally, and we all share that joy. It's certainly an incredible experience, which is almost worth living here for. But I also feel we get it several times a year. We also get it on those glorious fall days when there used to be a poem that I read again in elementary school, October is bright blue weather. When we get bright blue skies and yellow leaves and sunshine and that, that's euphoric. And we also get it on some of those first snows when we look out and the world that we knew has transformed again. And it's wonderful. So we're in the midst of an incredible transformation right now. Just driving here, we drove exactly the same way this morning quite early, and it looks completely different right now. I mean, just today, all of our trees turned from just stems with the potential for bursting forth to green. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was driving here and was like, this is unbelievable. This just happened just in this day, at least in our area. So allow this beautiful Easter time to lift you. I know that this had the choice of this day. I have no idea how we move Easter all around like we do and whatever. But and allow it to be that renewal of that for all of us, and the renewal of commitment to be the conduit for the divine in our life, and allow that to bring us our peace and the expression of love. Thank you.
Is this thing on? Yes. Thank you, Beth. You always give such a great talk. And thanks for sort of introducing my next song so well. I was like, oh, that was perfect. It's like we've been doing this for years. This is Child of Man. It's a song I think Noah wrote. Well, I know she sings it, but I think she wrote it too.
And forget the winter's gloom. If I were a brook of water, kissed by the frost along my borders, spring would make me sing, my voice would ring as I released my icy chains. In spring I'd bubble and forget the winter's rains. But I'm only a child of man. I'm only a child of man. Just an innocent child of man. Don't look so surprised as my eyes shine and glow. It's the sunlight in the skies, it's making me so. Don't look so surprised as my eyes shine and glow. It's the sunlight in the skies, it's making me so. If I were a joyful songbird, a winter long so cold and somber, spring would make me sing, my voice would ring as like tiny bells on scars of silk. A song as beautiful and pure as mother's milk. But I'm only a child of man. I'm only a child of man. Just an innocent child of man. Don't look so surprised as my eyes shine and glow. It's the sunlight in the skies, it's making me so. Don't look so surprised as my eyes shine and glow. This look in my eyes.
Happy spring. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Linda and Lucille, and thank you, Beth, very much for that message.